Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we're going to be talking about one of our hot buttons today, preserving election integrity. And you do that by getting the word out on all sides. And I don't believe in censorship either against the people I disagree with. Certainly I don't with my own views. And we've got Andrew Rideau with us, and we're going to get into Rideau with us, and he's going to get into his company, what he's doing, what he's trying to prevent, what he's trying to accomplish. This is an interview you're not going to want to miss. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, he's picked up another customer for me. I got to run it by my tech person tomorrow, but you'll hear what we're doing here, because I want to walk away from everything that's mainstream. And I know that a lot of you do too. Anyway, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And listen, the Dodd-Frank Law 2010, you're an unsecured creditor. It's unconstitutional, but they've made it legal. And that means they can take your money if times get tough. Do you want to be in that position with 63 banks already on the verge of failing, but they won't tell you which ones? You don't want to be there. So let Noble Gold do for you what they've done for me. Yes, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 6.5 years. And when I need to do adjustments, I go back, we do the tweaks. They're the best people I have ever worked with. And this is why I keep endorsing them. And I have a personal relationship with the people in this company, and it is fantastic. And if you want to save your nest egg and you don't want to have a 1929 moment, this is your deal. So here's what you do. I want to send you a free information packet. It'll describe everything. It'll have Noble Gold's number on it, and they won't call you. You actually have to close your own deal too. I mean, they're taught not to be offensive and overbearing. So here's what you do. You go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Just fill out a couple lines and I'll send you a free information packet electronically. The number on there, 877-646-5347, is the number to call. And I'm telling you, you won't regret it, because they're going to diversify you that with the hit comes, you're not going to sink like the Titanic. Okay, DaveHodgesGold.com. We're so pleased and privileged to have Andrew on. I got the opportunity this morning, and we pushed everything out of the way to do this interview because it is so important. We have one last chance, in my humble opinion, to save this country. And Andrew is the CEO of Liberation Technology Services, served in the Trump administration. This guy's terrific, folks. He's on our side. He's one of us. And he's offering services and pushing things that are helping us get our country back. Andrew, it's great to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me back, Dave.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I was so pleased when I saw CJ send this out to me. And that's the booking agent that I often go through and who Andrew is contracted with. And I want to read just one line here from the promo here and let this be a starting point. The Supreme Court has an opportunity to save free speech, ultimately free elections in America, at the end of June. Two cases regulating social media and government speech censorship are on the docket. I can't think of anything more important, although I'll put Trump's immunity right there. There's 1A and 1B, okay? But we can still get our country back without Trump, okay? If we don't have free speech, there's no country. Andrew, tell us about what you're involved in and what's going on.
Yeah, so there are a variety of different cases that we're seeing come through, as you were kind of mentioning. You know, there's a case out of Missouri that is challenging the Biden's administration to control the narrative via technology companies. You know, the initial findings were there needs to be a separation between Silicon Valley and the Biden administration so that they can't control the narrative anymore, like we saw during the 2020 election, during COVID and everything else. We're also seeing the Biden administration challenging essentially the state's rights to protect its citizens from censorship by technology companies, right? You know, being here in Florida, Governor DeSantis initiated some legislation that basically said, if you go after our citizens, you unjustly censor them, infringing on their First Amendment right, we will come after you. It is illegal. You know, it is a protected privilege. It is the first privilege that our founding fathers instilled in the Constitution. And, you know, the state of Florida will take action. We're also seeing, you know, the same idea coming out of Texas and out of the South. And, you know, these governors, these legislators are standing up for their constituents and their right to, you know, share their opinions and ideas and not necessarily just get labeled misinformation just because it goes against the Biden administration's, you know, talking points.
Yeah, there you go, right there. These court cases that are being reviewed by the Supreme Court, is there any aspect of or hope of reinstatement for people like myself who've been kicked off YouTube or people who've been kicked off Facebook or Twitter previous to Elon Musk?
Well, it really depends on the direction and the scope that the Supreme Court ultimately wants to take, right? If you're in one of these, you know, states that are named in the lawsuit, yes, you will likely be protected. You'll likely be reinstated. But the Supreme Court could also then essentially set the precedents for many other states if you live outside of one of those, so that, you know, your representative, your state AG can actually file a case and ultimately win because that precedent has then been set. But, you know, it is concerning. The courts definitely have, you know, made it interesting in the sense that you don't necessarily know how they're always going to vote. So I really do think that, you know, free speech, the direction of this country, the ability to debate is really kind of up for decision right now. And hopefully the Supreme Court, you know, granted President Trump did put several of those members and justices on the bench, you know, hopefully they do, you know, stand to their principles and their values and back the Constitution.
Well, let's hope that they do that. I don't know what states are on this. I'm in Arizona. We're a captured operation. The election from Republicans was stolen across the board. And people say, Dave, how can you say that? 60% of the machines in Maricopa County, okay, biggest county by far in Arizona, went down on opening, but they only went down in heavy Republican areas. 60%. Estimated 150 to 200,000 people were disenfranchised.
And Kerry Lake, I think, lost by less than 20,000 votes. I was out there during that time.
Yeah, the exact number was 17,000. I know because I've done extensive work on this. And Abe Amadei, I think, lost by 700 votes. And we've got an attorney general that's farther to the left than Fidel Castro. And she's trying to go. She's going after the alternative electors. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
I saw that they've arrested and subpoenaed several former Trump administration officials just because of their role. And no one, from my understanding, was really even tracking this.
Well, you know, excuse my lack of memory from my civics days as a senior in high school. But if the Democrats win, their electors get to cast the electoral votes, and the opposite if the other party wins. What is illegal about having alternative electors? And especially if an election's in dispute, why would you disband them? So, because then if the ruling by the courts go in your favor, your people get to cast the votes. I fail to see where the crime is.
Well, they want to scare people out of doing their you know, civic due diligence and their civic duty by serving as their electorates in the first place. You know, this is a flat out scare tactic, in my opinion.
I agree.
But not really much different from what we're seeing in the technology space right now. You know, they, I think, are really trying to come after the narrative, the free speech, and the ability to debate and for the constituents to make their own informed decisions. And so that's really, they're going a full court press at this point.
Yeah, well, I got kicked off YouTube without having a strike or being demonetized. And we're still trying to, we still don't know 7 months later why. You know, I was working with a company that brought me advertising. And so that gives me representation rights with YouTube. And they just can't summarily dismiss you. They broke their own rules in getting rid of me. And we don't know why. The last two pieces I did, it was during the Kennedy anniversary, the 60th anniversary of the assassination. And I said, why is the CIA still hanging on to files that are mandated by law to release? If they have nothing to hide, show us the files. And those are the last two that I did. And I was summarily taken down at 2 a.m. So I don't think it was a human operation. I think it was AI.
Oh, that's right around the time that we saw Google really start to ramp up their capabilities with AI. And then, that's an interesting kind of piece because now they have AI, depending on the outcome of the Supreme Court decisions, they'll be able to leverage that AI to completely suppress the narrative if the ruling goes against, the First Amendment.
Have you seen the work of Dr. Epstein?
I have, yes.
Okay.
He's projecting that anywhere from 5 to 25 million US voters could have their votes swayed just through these algorithms.
I'm speaking at a conference at the end of the month on fifth generation warfare mind control, and there's the electronic, there's the chemical, but this has opened a new door for mind control because if people don't get to read it, then it is a way of controlling their mind, just using social forces.
Well, and additionally, the case here in Florida or out of Florida, there's a real risk for social engineering as well. They have millions and millions and millions of records on each and every one of us. Within that is essentially our subconscious, our habits, our tendencies, and things like that. With AI and all of that data, they can begin to socially engineer the desired outcome. That's exactly what Dr. Epstein was talking about, is if they decide to start pushing campaigns and agendas forward, through, AI and persuasive debate via AI, they'll ultimately begin to kind of change our subliminal thoughts and, potentially get us to take an action that under normal circumstances we wouldn't.
It's absolutely mind-boggling too. I don't know. Dr. Epstein's work, I used to teach research in stat and psychology, both from the community college all the way to the university level, spanned my career. And I know how to evaluate research. His research is good. His
And
research
it's
is really
true.
good.
And it's true.
And he's proven what you're saying.
Yeah.
A
And why
absolutely.
does Google need that much information if they're just trying to sell us a loofah, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to market to us, right? That data is essentially the new gold, it's the new oil. And what they can do with that, especially with the mass integration of AI, it's still to be unseen how compelling, how persuasive, how determinative the outcomes can really be.
Shifting just for a second, right before we went on air, I saw an article that's predicting that Amy Coney Barrett's going to split the conservative vote, generally speaking. Now, and they didn't mention a specific issue. I know her kids were followed to and from school during the Roe v. Wade Dobbs decision. I know they were harassed. I know she was harassed. I mean, obviously, Kavanaugh was the victim of an attempted assassination. Is she being intimidated, in your opinion, to going left, or do we have to worry about it? Is it an inaccurate article? What do you think?
Well, I think that in general, if you're potentially going to rule against the left, they are a mob mentality. They are going to use untraditional tactics, unconventional. They're going to use peer pressure and threats to get their way. I mean, we see it time and time again, not just with the Supreme Court, with conservative members of Congress, with city councilmen, with anyone that opposes their ideology, they will get in your face, they'll surround your homes and everything like that. So yes, I do think that this is a real tactic. It's unfortunate that they target individuals that, didn't sign up for this, being her kids, her husband, and the rest of her extended family. But unfortunately, this is the new left that we see. They can't respect the third branch of government, the judicial branch, to do what it has been laid out to do and mandated to do. And yeah, it's unfortunate. I hope and I believe, I've met her a few times. I hope that she stands by her morals and convictions, but it is a real concern. But I wouldn't put it all in this one case. There is also a case going through the Supreme Court concerning bump stocks. So that could be alluding to that case. But you know, we really don't know until the ruling is out. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court is not a predictable court by any means.
Well, I have my opinions and I'm biting my tongue right now. I believe Roberts cannot be counted on. He's shown that since Obamacare. If Amy Coney Barrett flips, that's 5-4 liberals.
And that essentially gives not only the Biden administration to set up essentially a department of propaganda, where they are able to go to these technology companies and say, suppress anything that says these keywords, suppress these ideas, suppress these topics. You know, that is a great concern, but it also removes the ability for our governors who are duly elected to protect its citizens against these technology companies. You know, the root of a lot of these issues are, you know, Section 230, which give complete immunity to many of these technology companies from ever being sued by states or citizens alike. And so, you know, that is where we may see some movement because, you know, they are going to actually have to overrule existing law, which, in my opinion, would be greatly appreciated.
Let's visit 230 for a second. I'm so glad you brought that up, Andrew. I'm going to put out what my understanding is, and then feel free to correct me, okay? My understanding is that the tech companies can't be held liable for pedophiles or people that do things online they shouldn't do. But it also says you cannot censor because then you are a publisher. So they're having it both ways. Can you take those concepts and talk about?
So 230 is not just a one or two paragraph section. It is packed full of information. But what you're talking about is, you know, one of the key clauses that come up time and time again. It basically establishes these technology companies as being platforms, right? Anyone can go on. These technology companies are not responsible for what takes place on the platform. You know, free speech, debate, things like that. You know, if you know, people are selling drugs on their platform, you know, they can't be held liable as an accessory to drugs, drug trade, and things like that. But at the same time, you know, they can't be responsible if misinformation is put out on their platforms. Now, on the other sense, if you're a publisher, meaning you are controlling the content, you're moderating the content on your platform, you can be held liable, right? And so that is one of the things that we're seeing. You know, they are actively, you know, not just enforcing, you know, laws on their platform. They are stepping over the line into the publisher role by deeming what is allowed to be on the platform or not. Whether, you know, setting aside legality, it is really a publisher's decision. And so, you know, in the definition of Section 230, they've crossed the line. They can be held liable, but there hasn't been a full revisiting of Section 230 to redefine this. Mind you know, the parameters, the law was put into place over a decade ago. It's severely outdated.
Yes.
And the courts have never weighed in on this case. And so it is something that could really be monumental here. We've seen some kind of GDPR in the EU kind of addresses some of these issues, but you know, this could actually open up a Pandora's box and a heap load of trouble for Silicon Valley companies if the Supreme Court decides to rule against them, saying that, you know, they can in fact be held liable. Governors and elected officials do have a right to protect their citizens because now, you know, you would have a claim to go back against YouTube and say, look, I did not violate a law. You are a publisher. You took me down. I incurred damages. Time to pay up.
Okay, I think I hear what you're saying here, and let me give you this scenario. I'm glad I interpreted this correctly, but I got my information from a staffer of an active person in Congress, and the information was given to me rather confidentially, and they wanted me to put some trial balloons out there. So one of the things that happened, I was at a conference in Branson, and I was speaking at this conference. Doug Thornton, then DHS, former DHS now, Gary Haven, big time Republican donor, friends with Rand Paul, was there, and then Doug Hagman, who does a lot of what I do. And I was explaining to these people about my understanding of 230. I said, I just had this discussion with a staffer, and this was about 7 weeks before the 2018 midterms. And I said, you know, President Trump needs to do something about this. He's got the authority to step in and hold these people accountable for the censorship, the way that I understand this provision. And Gary Haven, who's so well connected, I mean, he's best friends with Rand Paul, he picked up the phone, and I'm going to leave the name out right now, but he called one of President Trump's advisors. I'm on the phone with him at 10:30 p.m. Central. And I spent 25 minutes explaining my understanding of 230, which was pretty much what you just said. And he said, I'm definitely taking this to the president on Monday morning. This was a Saturday night. On Wednesday, President Trump said something publicly. I thought, my gosh, maybe he got educated on this and is going to act, because he said, I'm going to hold social media accountable for what they're doing, a suppression of the First Amendment. But then nothing happened. You were around at that time. Can you tell me, do you have an opinion on why President Trump and his people wouldn't go forward and just slap these people down for what they were doing?
Well, unfortunately, and by design, it's not that easy for one man to go and change law here in the United States. He can issue EOs, executive orders.
Yes.
But at the same time, 230 is a bill that has been signed by Congress. And so if he tries to sign an executive order that directly goes against or violates that bill, it would go to the Supreme Court, where, you know, the justices would ultimately decide.
I agree with that. I agree.
More direct and logical way of going about this is going to the conservatives in Congress and saying, hey, we need to amend all of this, right? They're, like I said earlier, 230 is a very big, you know, kind of widespread piece of legislation. But, yeah, you know, you don't want to throw the entire thing out. So we needed to really amend everything. And unfortunately, you know, after 2018, you know, we had a deal with House Democrats. And, you know, unfortunately, there aren't many things that you can do if one chamber decides to not really take something
okay
up.
But let's leave Congress out of it for a second. I was talking about, okay, the law is written in a certain way, and to me, it's pretty clear. You can't censor if you want immunity from what bad actors put on your platform. And that was my bottom line. And what I'm really asking here is not about involving Congress, but about using the executive authority of the president's office to enforce what's already in place.
Yeah, so he could have gone to the DOJ, and the DOJ would have to file suit against these companies saying that they violated the law, that they're acting in a publisher capacity. And then once again, it would go all the way up to the Supreme Court. You know, one thing that you also have to remember, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, they spend the most money on lobbyists in Washington, D.C., bar none. It's not oil. It's not some of these other industries. It is technology companies. They're the ones that are spending tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars annually to influence members of Congress to support their ideology. You know, at the end of the day, there are proper checks and balances, right? We don't want Biden. We don't want to give Biden the ability to go and just completely up in this country, although it seems like he's doing a pretty good job at
he
it.
He is.
But, you know, we want to make sure that there are proper pathways. There are proper balances that are set into place. But I do think, you know, these technology companies have a day of reckoning coming before them, especially in the second president or second Trump term.
Yeah, let's hope 45 gets in. that's the bottom line here. And it may be our last chance. I'm looking at some of the things on the list about your discoveries here, and I want to mention a couple of these here, and I want to read from them to make sure that I don't make a mistake. 45 pro-political censorship organizations collected $80.8 million from liberal financier George Soros. Okay, again, I'll go back to, I'm not a lawyer, but I'll go back to my senior year in high school. How do you have government collude to violate its own First Amendment with private interests?
It's the same question with NPR, right? You know, it seems like time and time again, we are finding out that what Zuckerberg, Soros, you know, all these different entities, they're either creating or putting a ton of money into these nonprofits that are, you know, narrowly focused on this. And I do think that it's wrong. But I think for the most part, conservatives haven't done anything about it. Christians haven't said anything about it. And so we kind of get this, position where, yeah, they're making a big push in these conservative or censorship watchdog programs to
Sure.
ensure that they can gather as much information as possible, flag as much as possible, and then ship it over to the technology companies to get it taken care of.
It somewhat, I'm going to read a description of what you're involved in, and I'm saying this to the audience. I'm more than likely, with the blessing of my guy that runs my tech, is going to make the switch here. But I just want to read this line here, Andrew, about what you're involved in. It says, Andrew's formerly the Trump White House and now the CEO of Liberation Technology Services, a non-woke, freedom-based tech platform that replaces Gmail, Zoom, MailChimp, okay, and more. And so therefore, I use three of these services here. We're on one of them right now. I think this is really good, but does your success, does it crater on who controls the internet?
Yes and no. So we are really focused on really some key pieces that, you know, we're starting to do work internationally as well, both from the infrastructure and services side. So we will be kind of free from any single governing law. The internet is not just a single thing. We have built all of our own infrastructure. We have secured all of our vulnerabilities. And if there's something like the fiber, you know, we have gone out and contracted a dozen different fiber companies so that we can ensure that the political leanings of a single company cannot take us or our clients out. And we're doing even more to create that resiliency. So, you know, compared to everyone else that's out there, I would say we are one of the most secure, resilient platforms out there. And we're building our own infrastructure in a unique way that it doesn't matter who's in power, where you are, you'll always be able to stay online with us.
Okay. I guess this is the time that I have to tell you about something called Private Line. We're working towards the same ends, Andrew. And I see what you're doing here, and it needs to be supported. But I've got a friend, Chris Kitsey. He set up crypto for the government of Iceland, and he's done projects like that. This guy's no joke. And I've known him very, very well. When he had a big site, he actually recruited me to write for him. So I've gotten to know Chris really well through the years. And he has something that's independent of the internet that they're getting ready to launch. They have brought me into it. And I wasn't allowed to say this. Well, I got to hold off and get permission. There's a huge Fortune 500 company involved and a huge another Fortune 500 company involved with a very famous person. And they're involved in this and what they're tired of. And I think we're going to see a rebellion here. The ESG controls that BlackRock says they're not doing, but they are. The ESG controls where your profits aren't important, but doing the woke agenda is important. And if you don't do the woke agenda, corporations, and you get a low ESG score, we'll keep you from getting business loans and business opportunities. And that's going on. And there's a rebellion right now in the ranks with this. And two of those major Fortune 500 companies have joined forces with Chris to do this. And I think this is not a competitive effort with you. I think it could end up being a collaborative effort and I think other people can be joining in too. But the Fortune 500s are seeing it. I don't know, Andrew, I doubt that you're really aware of this because this has been very proprietary. I think I'm 2 weeks away from telling you the corporations. I'll tell you privately, but I can't put it out on the airwaves.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you look at everything and people think they hear the cloud, they hear the internet. It is all goods and hardware and service and infrastructure. So, there is no one way to replace it. The way that we look at it and kind of the alternative economy and things like that, that's why we're a part of, Freedom Chamber of Commerce, Public Square, all these other groups. There's a massive supply chain that needs to be sorted out here in this nation.
Absolutely.
And, we work with the other conservative cloud providers. And, the frank conversation is we're not competitors. We are allies here because we are up against industrial titans that the world has never seen before. So we work very closely with plenty of other technology companies and enjoy, new projects and companies coming online because at the end of the day, no single company is going to replace and solve this issue. So it does take a
Right.
lot to really focus on and to do. What we were focused on in building liberation is to give you first that secure home to host your website, your application, and whatever it might be. And then we said, just because our clients kept asking, how do we get rid of Gmail, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, all of these companies that are selling us out, leaking our data, experiencing problems because they're putting profits over their consumers and their customers. And then we built the MailChimp alternative and after 22, when we saw that the RNC was being throttled to 30% deliverability. And then we built a no-code website builder. So even the greenest, the newest of business owners can go build a website on a secure platform that's aligned with them.
The only thing standing between me and switching to all three of these services in the morning is I'm playing golf, but there ain't nothing stopping me from doing this in the afternoon.
Well, we do this with customers all the time. Let's take one step at a time. One morning, we'll get one service switched over. The next afternoon, we'll do the next. And, it is fairly easy. And I think what we've heard back from our customers is it feels familiar. It's not like you're learning something from scratch. We built that intentionally so that, I'm tired of learning a new platform and a new application. So we wanted it to be something that you could pick up in, a couple of hours and being fully comfortable,
Okay.
jumping right in.
Well, I know that with the mail list, for people like me that have mail lists that go out, whether you do a business or like what I do with me, it's political, geopolitical, and business. We have the addresses, so we have no trouble making that switch. I already know that. We've looked into it. So that's going to happen for sure. What I'm wondering about is the Zoom, okay? The Gmail, that's another deal, but the Zoom. I want to ask you a couple technical questions, okay? So let's say I have Liberation Technology version of Zoom. Does the other person that I might be interviewing or having a conference with, do they have to have it as well?
No. So the way that we built it, you can either A, send out a link, you'll plug your name in and hit enter, and you'll be let right into the room.
Okay.
Or yeah, you can have another account with us. You obviously get more functions and features doing it that way. But we will never require our users to sign up for a service that they're just visiting.
All right. So, but I, as the host, would be assignee, and then people could come in as a third party and not have to worry about membership.
We do it all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm learning. So.
Well, but at the same time, because security is key, you can lock down each one of your rooms to basically Fort Knox if you elect to.
The more you're talking, the more I see a marriage between one group and what you're doing. And I don't necessarily mean a partnership, but I mean a cooperation. CJ has my number. Feel free to call me if you want to know more on this, because I can put you right with the parties. This is, and I'll tell you, I'm doing everything I'm doing, I'm putting through this private line issue too, because I'll still do the mainstream until the mainstream becomes not doable. And I
Well,
think,
exactly. The mainstream will become replaced over time because we
yeah,
still live in a capitalistic society. And
exactly.
what I think we'll see is, support getting behind your project, behind us, behind Freedom Chamber of Commerce, Public Square. We are seeing this uprising where people are just looking for alternatives. And it's taken a little while to build all of these products and services, but the time is here. The time is for 2024. And ultimately, you know, the biggest way that we can make an impact in this country, because you can potentially elect a new president every 4 years, is to change your spending habits. Vote with your wallet. And if you start putting your money behind companies that are not pushing ESG, that are focused on your data privacy, focused on your security, then, you know, that will cause our competitors to potentially reevaluate their positions, their stance on everything. And at that time, it might be too late for them. But, you know, we continue to push forward and to see outstanding success. Have seen a massive tick up in just the last week with onboarding. It's flooding in now at this point. It's because, you know, listeners like yours that are willing to take a stand and to start voting with their actual wallets.
Yeah. I would imagine you're comparable in cost and convenience.
Well, like I said before, we're actually going to save you a few bucks when you switch over from MailChimp. And just about every other platform and service is kind of right smack in the middle of okay. our competitors. And, you know, the one thing I will say is we don't give away free services. I might charge you a dollar, but that dollar ensures that we're not mining, monitoring, or monetizing your services and your email and whatever it might be. Because nothing is, at the end of the day, free.
That was my next question, Noah. The data, I'm sure, is secure, and you're not engaged in the practices that should be illegal that Google are involved in with this. Do you remember the case with Facebook? People
Which one?
Because, okay. I'll have to describe it generally because I don't remember the name of the case, but it was well over a decade ago. And a group of people, I think from California, sued Facebook because they were taking their data and making money off it. They said, we have the right to our own data. You do not. And the courts ruled against them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is kind of that platform argument. You know, they've built it. They run the platform and everything else. If you're giving permission, it's those terms and conditions that we senselessly just hit accept on. But if you actually were to read that, you would understand that when you're on their platform, you are giving them full ownership of everything that you do. Adobe, just in the last 2 weeks,
I
said
just
that
broke that down.
they own anything you create on Adobe, they own it, right?
That's right.
We've seen it time and time again. You know, if you're using those platforms and they're not, you know, really giving you value, you're signing away all of your data rights, all of your privacy rights. And that is, I would say, across the board. You know, it's a pandemic here in our society, and it's really just absolutely abused at this point.
If you write a poem or create a song and it's on Adobe, don't you have a poor man's copyright? Are they actually taking that away from people?
If they might not necessarily take it away from you, but if you create a picture, it's beautiful. Well, they can throw it in their template repository and sell it for $30 to other creators. They might not necessarily take it away, but they'll take away your ownership and your IP rights to it. And so at that point, they can make a ton of money and give you nothing.
Are they limited in how far they can go that they can only engage in Adobe files?
I'd hate to say that, but each platform has their own, you know, permissions, and a lot of them work together, right? So really, if you're doing anything on the Adobe platform, and while it might not be exactly that case today, all they have to do is change the terms and conditions. You accept it one more time, like you've done 100 times in the past, and bada bing, bada boom, they now can do everything and take control over all of your IP across the entire Adobe platform.
That's what I thought. But if they have partnerships with other entities where you have other data, they could boost.
Oh, they share all the time. Microsoft Teams has over 700 third-party partners that have access to the back-end data.
Why don't people know this?
They don't take the time to do the research. Up until really, I think, 2020, you know, everyone just said, it doesn't impact me, right? It was primarily behind the curtain. It was covert in a lot of the actions that they did. But we saw in 2020, you know, Joe Biden wasn't winning. You know, COVID was fizzling out. So they had to sway the election with their technology partners. They had to become overt in the way that they were persuading people. I mean, you know, you look back and I think the number is 14% of surveyed Democrats, you know, shortly after the November 2020 election said if they would have known about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they would have never voted for Joe Biden. 14%. That is not a couple of thousands. That's not tens of thousands. That's potentially millions of voters that would have been swayed here in the United States.
Yeah, but you know, beyond the tech companies, and maybe we have no control over this, the Hunter Biden laptop, the collusion was not just with the tech companies and the Biden family and the Democratic Party, but you had 51 intelligence officials that lied about this issue.
Yeah. And whether they knowingly lied about it or they were deceived, they still lied. They signed their name to a piece of paper. The
right.
facts came out. We knew that the laptop was real. You know, there has really been no recourse for the technology companies, the intel officials, the Biden administration, you know, and that's the real concern that we're seeing with these Supreme Court decisions. If they are able to go and do these things, sway the outcome of the election, sway our opinions, you know, not allow for us to have all of the facts to make our own informed decisions, you know, we might as well just, you know, slap a new name on Department of Homeland Security and call it the Department of Propaganda.
Well, speaking of that, I'd like to bring up something from Homeland Security. They've come out with disinformation, misinformation. Everybody knows what this is: purposeful misleading, accidental misleading. Okay, those are the two terms there. But they have a third one that will get you categorized as a domestic terrorist, and it's called malinformation. You might be right in what you're saying, but if you undermine confidence in the government official, government agency, you can be held accountable for that. How familiar are you with
yeah,
the term
well,
malinformation?
Exactly. So that is kind of the main trend, the main language that they're using right now to really, you know, attack a lot of these individuals, to suppress one side of the narrative, right? We saw that primarily come out around the time of COVID, you know, a lot of the censorship that happened there, you know, the studies that came out from Harvard and Stanford doctors, you know, they were saying it's malinformation. It goes against the good of the people. It goes against the government narrative, even though the data could have saved lives if it was allowed to be, you know, widely distributed and people can make their own informed decisions. You know, that's where it's scary, right? When the government starts saying, you know, here's what to think instead of how to think. And I think we've lost that because of our education system and the way that our government's been run recently. But the other concerning part, just like the big tech's terms and conditions, you know, malinformation, it's not clearly defined. You know, one day, you know, something might not be considered malinformation, but 6 months later, it could now be classified as such. So does that mean, you know, you've published something and they're going to go back using the AI filters and prosecute over something that you said six months ago, a year ago, 9 years ago? I heard someone just the other day had posts from 9 years ago on Facebook taken down and they were given strikes because of that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's real common. If I were to ever have my YouTube channel restored, I would wipe out everything I've ever done for that reason. I've heard this many times. Oh, yeah, we reinstated you, but you said something here 5 years ago. Okay, so now you're terminated again. So I would have to wipe the whole thing out.
You know, it's unfortunate because no one is perfect. No business has a sterling record. We've all made mistakes and, you know, at times said things that, you know, looking back, we wish we wouldn't have said.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, in that moment, we were saying those things because we believed that they were truthful, they were accurate, they were beneficial to the overall conversation. And if you try to whitewash history, prosecute history, you know, that's incredibly concerning because the history that we've all experienced is what makes us who we are today, which hopefully we're all learning from our mistakes, learning from our past and improving. But if you start whitewashing that, like we've seen the left try to do time and time again, you know, what do we end up as, right? A dysfunctional society that makes the same errors time and time again. That's quite literally the definition of insanity.
No, it truly is. But the thing is, if we lose on these arguments, it's game over anyway. And if we lose on this election, I think it's game over. But one of the things that I think is really important for the public to know is that what I just talked about, malinformation, DHS is making noises. And I have a broadcast partner I do a show with once a week. He's former DHS supervisor. He's got contacts within DHS. And he told me what's happening is they're bootstrapping this to the NDAA. In other words, if you're guilty of malinformation, everything you said is true, but it's not in the public interest. Now you can be snatched off the street, no constitutional liberties. They can do with you what they will. And this is Nazi Germany stuff.
It's Vladimir Putin's dream society, honestly. I mean, that's exactly what they did to Evan Gershkovich in Russia over a year ago. You know, they didn't approve of the narrative that he was putting, and they called him a spy. They charged him with espionage, and it is, you know, to be determined when he will be released. But I can guarantee you this: they are going to be asking for a man that has done some heinous things to be released in exchange for Evan.
Yeah, but you don't have to go to Russia because we could be persecuted by America's version of this justice system here. I don't think people realize how close we are to this. And then the Europeans have jumped into this full-fledged too. I mean, they're harassing Elon Musk, and Australia's harassing Elon Musk.
Well, I'll be very excited to see what comes out of this new EU Parliament. As we saw, there was a strong, you know, will of the people, a strong win for conservative parties in the EU elections just a couple of weeks ago. And I think really it's a referendum on folks like Emmanuel Macron, and, you know, these other kind of ultra liberal leaders. And they're saying enough of is enough. I mean, you look at the streets of Germany, the streets of Paris, you know, they are not what they're made out to be in the movies. They are filled with citizens, everyday men and women that are sick and tired of their government putting others before them.
I hear that too. And does your analysis here, does it link into improper voting and voting machines and all that mess?
Well, I think that at the end of the day, what really matters more than anything, and I'm so excited that Laura Trump is, you know, there at the RNC, that we, I think, have some great leadership that is coming into place. You know, they are fighting, you know, on the law front, on the technology front, on the grassroots front, you know, not just trying to raise as much money as possible. Because I think what we saw in 2020, you know, it was a lot of the things that the RNC just elected not to do. You know, chasing ballots is legal in over 25 states. The RNC just elected not to put any money behind that, right? And so, you know, there are certain activities that I thought, you know, we were just tying our hands behind our back. But at the same time, if, you know, the everyday, you know, man decides to actually do their part of this civic duties, and they're going out and serving as, you know, poll watchers, they're serving as poll workers, they are, you know, out there being engaged, you know, ensuring that their neighbors are voting, ensuring that, you know, everything is above board and transparent. You know, I don't think that any sort of, you know, manipulation of an electoral system can be done. Because if you have enough eyeballs and you can make enough noise, you know, they're not able to do these things, right? It's only in the shadows. It's only where people aren't watching are they able to, you know, pull ballots out. And, you know, they have these convenient excuses. But if we have someone from our side that has a video camera that's saying, no, what you said is factually incorrect and I have proof, you know, it really makes it hard for them to stick with that narrative. And I think we'll start seeing them backtrack like crazy.
Well, they're not on one thing. There's an ad, and I don't know how widespread the ad is, but I assume it's a national ad. It talks about reproductive rights and that whole genre. And then they say Donald Trump is trying to, he's endangering fetuses, he's endangering pregnant women. And they just go off the rails and they blame him for the reversal of Roe v. Wade to the Dobbs decision. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, he wasn't even in office. And that was a Supreme Court function. So how can you, I mean, they're just outright lying in these ads.
Well, that's because I believe they've really lost the respect for the governmental process, right? You have the Congress that's writing laws, the government or the Supreme Court that's reviewing and setting precedents of those laws, and then you have the executive that is, executing those laws. And I think the real concern is just how far they're willing to go. I mean, even within the last 48 hours, there are shows like The View going after the RNC because, President Biden had to be escorted off stage, essentially, and guided off stage, if you will, by Barack Obama, right? And then in almost the same breath, they try saying Trump's, mental and physical capabilities are lost. And what did they do? They showed a maybe 1 second clip of President Trump holding on to Don Jr.'s hand, essentially shaking the hand when you watch the full clip. And they try saying, well, you can't attack President Biden for this, right? That's misinformation. That's they didn't call it deep fake. They called it something slightly similar, but they were saying it was in poor taste. But then they do the exact same thing to Donald Trump. It's like your hypocrisy is really just getting out of control.
I agree. You're totally correct. There's a general concern I have too, and my wife first brought it up. And again, we're in the Arizona market, but I know that Trump had an ad poll that was on Google, and that was reported here in the local news. But what we're seeing is a distinct lack of ads for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to suppress him. They're trying to drain his funds, with all these court cases
True.
because they are not cheap. But also, I think that at the end of the day, at least from my opinion, ads on TV are not that effective. What is effective is someone knocking on a door and explaining the issues and having that real conversation. And I believe the RNC is now putting a lot more dollars into those grassroots, those person-to-person interactions. And I think that can make the ultimate difference because at the end of the day, we start to glaze over anytime there's a political ad. Trust me, in 22, when I was out in Arizona, it was every 15 seconds, every commercial break, it was just wall-to-wall political ads. And I don't think that was at really effective anymore. But I do think that, the censorship, the fact that they removed Donald Trump's ad from Google is incredibly concerning because you look at it and say, what did this violate? It was an individual, asking questions about Biden's policies, which are public knowledge, and then someone giving the response that just about every single American is probably thinking.
It was too
You
effective.
know,
That's why they banned it.
exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. And that is the concern that Dr. Epstein has brought up that I'm bringing up. If they are able to suppress this narrative, to suppress something that is effective and pulling on the heartstrings of the everyday American, they're going to silence those narratives and not let them even get out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Andrew, before we close here, I just want to ask you just a general question. The services you're offering through Liberation Technology Services, they aren't just for people like me that have business interests in this. The average person would benefit from going to Gmail, Zoom, and MailChimp too, right?
Oh, yeah. And we have it set up so that instead of Gmail, you can have Liberation Mail. We have personal, every single one
Love.
of our products can be used for personal use. Everything is priced. So even if you're a company of one, you can find it incredibly affordable. But also at the same time, if you're a large scale company, we can handle that as well.
Okay. All right. You've answered a lot of questions I had after I read the narrative here, and I'm really encouraging people to go out there and let's see. I've got to back up to another page here to find your website.
Yeah, it's liberationtech, TEK.com.
Yeah, LiberationTech, TEK.com. And then it's basically just follow the prompts would be the way to go on this.
Yeah, you can check out under the products tab. You can see Hub for Teams, Liberation Campaign, Site Builder. We have some free trials. It doesn't mean we're giving it away for free forever.
I
But you
hear you.
can, get a free trial, test it out for yourself, make sure that it's going to work for you. And yeah. Everything is fully automated. So in just a couple of clicks, you can begin liberating your digital world.
Andrew, it's a business. You got to charge something for it. But I'll tell you,
Yeah.
what I like about this is your heart's in the right place. And this is fantastic stuff. It's actually what I've been looking for. So you answered some of my prayers. I want to thank you for coming on. And like I said, feel free to reach out to me on some of those other issues we talked about if you're so inclined. And you've been very generous with your time. We did this arrangement here in less than 6 hours' time. This is fantastic that we got you on so quickly. But thank you for coming on. Great stuff. I appreciate the work you do.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Take care.
Bye now.